In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, that day on which the Helper, whom our Lord Jesus Christ had promised His disciples, was actually given to them, as evidenced in their speaking in a multitude of languages. In our gospel for today, our Lord promises the disciples that in the Holy Spirit they would have rivers of living water flowing within them. Indeed, the third person of the Holy Trinity, when present in the lives of repentant sinners, enlivens them with the very life of God, the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, that first point of contact that we have with the Holy Trinity. This gift from God sets His people apart by purifying them from the passions, illuminating their darkened souls, and permeating their entire being with the divine light of His abiding presence. Through the Holy Spirit, we're given the unfathomable privilege and blessing of participating in that which is divine. This Spirit comes readily to those who seek Him in humility. But He is a divine gift of indwelling. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, we cannot even be disciples of Christ. After the apostles received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they were totally different people. They fell flat on their face, everything they tried to do, it seemed, before Pentecost came along. But afterwards, even St. Peter's shadow brought healing and raised people from the dead. The presence of the Holy Spirit is what accomplished this. It certainly was not just their own wherewithal. This gift is tantamount to coming alive, being born again, truly. Make no mistake about it. The kingdom of God is for those who are alive in God, not just going through the motions. The life of the Spirit of God is in us brings the realization of reconciliation with God and with each other. St. Paul teaches that this life in us is more than moral life or the eventual reversal of our decayed bodies. It is a life which moves us from glory to glory, becoming more and more and more and more and more like God. It can happen. It must happen. It is God's plan for you and for me. It's not reserved just for a few monks or nuns. It's for all of us. This inexhaustible magnificence that comes out of our intimacy with God. And standing in the presence of this and be experiencing it even to a very small degree, we are filled with a sense of awe and wonder. This is why our church distinguishes between scholars and theologians, by the way. Theologians are gifted by God to speak with authority in interpreting the Scriptures and confirming the boundaries of holy tradition and the mind of Christ and His church. Their intellectual ability is secondary to the degree to which their lives reflect the charisms of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Himself made the fearful distinction between those who merely search the Scriptures and those who have been enlightened and have opened themselves to God personally and in humility and repentance. This Holy Spirit transforms our lives as our relationship with Him grows deeper. St. Paul teaches us that if the Holy Spirit is in us, the fruits of His presence will be made manifest: love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, and on and on and on. These good fruits of the Holy Spirit. As we know, these can't be faked. St. Paul bears witness to the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the Gentiles. And by the way, most of us are Gentiles. I think maybe all of us. Just as our Lord in His earthly ministry demonstrated over and over that salvation is not just for the Jews, but for all men. The Holy Spirit works this out in the lives of Gentiles, all men, whoever it is, Jews as well, making it clear that the invitation and the gift of salvation is for all, regardless of race, socioeconomic background, nationality, etc. It makes no difference. The only issue is, are you made in the image of God? That's where you start. That's the litmus test for eligibility for what I'm speaking of today. The believer consecrated in the Holy Spirit becomes the temple of God. He is alive, or she. And this same Spirit is the unity of the church. The church of God is the body of Christ. It is alive. It is not some sterile organization governed by committees and officers and everything else under the sun that reeks of death. Some of those things are important. We have to do them. But that is not the essence of the church and what the church is. It's the people of God. But it's the people of God who are in communion with Him through the Holy Spirit. The church of God is not just some formalistic society, but rather the communion of the life of God. If this communion is broken through schism or heresy, the grace of the Holy Spirit departs, plain and simple. Let me close with this brief excerpt from St. Cyril of Jerusalem on the Holy Spirit. He writes, "The Spirit works, always tending to what is good and salvific. His coming is gentle. The awareness of His presence is fragrant. His burden is most light. Beams of light and knowledge shine out before His coming. He comes with the kindness of a true guardian. He comes to save and to heal, to teach and to admonish, to strengthen and to exhort, and to enlighten the mind, first of the one who receives Him, and then through Him others too. Imagine a person who has been sitting in darkness, then suddenly sees sunlight, and his eyes are illumined, and he can at least see things clearly. Well, so it is with a person who receives the gift of the Spirit. Such a person is enlightened in the soul and sees things which are beyond human sight, things he had not even known about. Such a person finds that through his body is that though his body is on earth, even so his soul mirrors the heavens. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen."